Hello and welcome again to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Support is building in New York for a, quote, Dream Act that would provide financial aid and other assistance to college-bound illegal immigrants in the state. The proposal is being pushed by Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. Now Governor Andrew Cuomo and the Republicans who share control of the state Senate are interested in discussing the bill. The Dream Act would provide a way to help poor immigrant families afford college and would create a commission to raise money for scholarships. The estimated cost of the aid ranges from $17 million to more than $20 million a year. Momentum is building after the idea withered under Republican pressure in Albany and Washington a year ago. On the federal level, the DREAM Act, an acronym for Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors, is bipartisan legislation pioneered by Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah and Democratic Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois that would provide conditional permanent residency to certain undocumented residents of good moral character who graduate from U.S. high schools, arrived in the United States as minors, and lived in the country continuously for at least 5 years to the bill's enactment. The idea of a DREAM Act goes back years and was reintroduced in the Senate in 2011 by Harry Reid. Critics say it acts as a magnet for illegal immigration, providing incentive for those who would enter this country outside of legal channels. Others say it is unfair to legal residents who have to pay full tuition. I want to know what you think, obviously. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. The number here, everybody, and I need your help, is to make this the true Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. Okay, folks, it's all yours. 1-800-348-2551. Again, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jerry in Clifton Park. Jerry, you're on. Go ahead.
Alan, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
You almost pulled me off the side of the road. Matter of fact, you did pull me off the side of the road. I'm sitting here. The response that you're going to get for this is got to be outlandish. Mr. Cuomo is pushing something that he's looking for no votes from the average working person. I can't believe for a second that this is going to go through. It's flabbergasting that they would be pushing something like this when the average working person out there can't get their own children through college, let alone paying for illegal residents to get a college education.
Jerry, what about the point? Not to argue with you, I hear your point. I take your point. But here is the question. What about the argument that it's really not the fault of these kids who are brought here, who were raised here, who wouldn't know what to do if they were sent back? Why should they be penalized?
I'm not saying they should be penalized. Put them on the same square as the regular working people. People like you and I and everybody else that's out there that I can tell you they're just dozens and dozens of families that I know, and it's not just in the area that I live. You know, I live in a good suburban area, but it's a lot of hardworking factory people out there that are spending 40 and 50% of their annual take-home pay to get their children through a state school even.
Sure.
Mothers and fathers working, you know, and now Mr. Silver and Mr. Cuomo are considering, by the way, We aren't supporting the people that voted you into office that are paying the taxes to support us fully. And I'll say, by the way, let's put them in. Let's put illegal people through. I'm not saying not support them, but, man, there's a lot that has to be done on the other side of this thing to support these people, the folks that are trying to put their kids through college. They can't even get through 2-year community college.
Okay.
Have enough money.
Okay, we're going around another time. Jerry, thank you for starting us out this way. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
Alan.
You. Yeah, bye. Let's go to Alan in Orange County. That's a good name. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in now are about 100%. Go ahead, Alan.
The problem with bills like this and acts like this is that we're not rewarding people for doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone illegally should not be rewarded for being here illegally, no matter what the situation is.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it. Stuff like this really, really angers me, and it angers a lot of people. Yeah. I worked very, very hard to put my two kids through college, and I was offered no state aid because the $44,000 I made last year was too much money. And then someone that doesn't belong here, has not gone through the legal channels to be here, is going to reap the benefits? That's ridiculous.
Alan, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Gerald of Ulster Park. Gerald, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Yeah, I think this is a bad idea. Something needs to be done, but this is not going to be right the way it's being done. The problem will be magnified when you do this by now parents that might have thought twice about coming here with two-year-old kids or having kids here that, bringing little kids here, might have thought twice. Now they won't think twice because there's no problem for the kid if they get caught. It's, the United States will accept them. They won't send them back to wherever they came from. So this will magnify the problem.
Okay,
the
go ahead. No, go ahead.
The other way to make this thing work is somebody is responsible for this problem. It's not the kids, but it is their parents.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to say is the cure for that is these kids can be given citizenship or permanent residency or whatever we want to do, provided their parents are out of the country. If they can prove that, then we'll do it for them. But if the parents are still there, the parents have got to go before we accept the kids.
Well, thank you for your thoughts, Gerald. Every phone is ringing, and the first three of you have certainly gotten us off to a start on a position that I don't particularly appreciate or believe in, but it's important. It's your show, and I'm delighted you're calling. Thanks, Gerald. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah. Let's go to Amy in Queensbury. Okay, Amy, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
This whole thing just rubs me the wrong way. First and foremost, my grandparents came over the proper way.
Yep.
They came in through Ellis Island. They got a sponsor. They worked 6 days a week. They worked hard. They saved their money. They raised their families. They raised their families to be financially conscious of their futures. And so far, the generations have been doing fine. However, this handout, it really irks me. I mean, I feel that somehow these students should be earning the privilege of the Dream Act, if anything. I don't think it should just be handed right over. I don't see why they couldn't do some kind of civil service for 4 years, go into the service, fight for the country that you want to be educated in, show that you're patriotic and want to be truly Americanized, if that's the way they want to go. But to just hand it over, I don't agree with it.
Amy, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to Chris in Scotia. Chris, you're on.
I think we should subsidize everyone's education in New York State, including those who are here illegally and those that are here legally.
Well, how do you react to the people who have called so vehemently opposed to this?
I'm a longtime listener, and I've never been even wanting to call into your show. Not that I don't find it interesting, but I don't see how we can, in any vein, address these children as other than children of the United States that need to be educated and that are going to be the people that are going to support our social programs, support our educational programs, and support us as a country. And I think that every child should have the opportunity to go to school. And are these children disadvantaged? Certainly are. Certainly they are. But we also should subsidize everyone's education.
Chris,
anyone who wants to go to school in New York State should have it paid for.
Chris, I have to say that I'm with you, but I want to hear from everybody, that's for sure. And I thank you for your call. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
To Support for WAMC comes from Boyden and Perron, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services in a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerron.com. Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, New York, presenting abstract paintings by Adam Cohen and Mexican photographic portraits by Russell Monk, opening this Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m., CarrieHaddadGallery.com. And Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, TheDamCafeAndDeli.com.
And we are back. Again, I want to talk to you about the Federal Dream Act, which is that the Dream Act would provide certain immigrant students who have grown up in the U.S. to apply for temporary legal status and to eventually obtain permanent legal status and become eligible for U.S. citizenship if they go to college or serve in the U.S. military. And the Dream Act would eliminate a federal provision that penalizes states that provide in-state tuition without regard to immigration status. If enacted, the Dream Act would have a life-changing impact on the students who qualify, dramatically increasing their average future earnings and consequently the amount of taxes they would pay, while significantly reducing criminal justice and social service costs to taxpayers. Let me just say, I agree with one thing that was said earlier that I think is terribly important, and that these kids did not do this. They were brought here by somebody else. And to grow up and to be penalized and to walk around thinking they could be sent away at any moment, I just don't like it. But in any case, let's go to Max in Northfield, Massachusetts. Max, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hey. One thing I'd like to say is that I feel like there's a lot of scapegoating going on with illegal immigrants in general. And I think that, you know, the real thing that we should address is the fact that ignorance is huge in this world and that education is the primary the driving factor of, you know, living a good, moral, successful life. And I think that school should be cheaper for all, not just illegal immigrants. And
That's a great point, Max. You know, I went to Hunter College. I went to high school for free. I went to Hunter for free. I had a scholarship at American for a master's degree, and I had my education paid for when I was doing my PhD at NYU, now by the government. So I have to say that if we're talking about equality of opportunity, which is what Republicans say, Democrats say, they don't say equality, say equality of opportunity. Well, if you're going to send somebody to elementary school and say that should be free, then how does the logic change that you should send somebody to college for free? I agree with you.
Yeah, and I have one more thing to say. With our defense budget being as large as it is, I think we could probably take a quarter of that and start putting it towards our children in this country rather than, you know, sending our troops into other countries to pretty much, you know, ruin their infrastructure.
Max, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Crystal in Schenectady. Crystal, you're on. There's one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Go, Crystal.
Well, I was listening again to your explanation of the situation a few moments ago, and one thing that caught my ear was that these young people are being offered in-state tuition rates, which means they still have to pay, and they still have to pay a lot.
But Crystal, what I read was that the Dream Act would eliminate a federal provision that penalizes states that provide in-state tuition without regard to immigration status. Got it? So there's a lot of negatives in there, but what this is saying is that the federal government now that there's a provision in the federal law that penalizes states that provide in-state tuition without regard to immigration status, meaning punish the immigration status people.
Okay, but the students are still having to pay tuition. They're not getting free education.
Yep.
So that was a key. That was a key thing that I didn't hear in some of the commentary from other people. They're saying it's free education. Yep. They're getting a free benefit. No, actually, it's not free. But anyway, the main thing that I called in for was that I just wanted to say that what I believe is going on is something a little bit perhaps more sinister and more nasty. That they're stirring people up and they're throwing red meat to get people all excited about, you know, this illegal benefit, and you make everybody angry. Rather than address things like some of the previous callers had said, that we really should be addressing the whole education system and reducing costs for everybody and figuring out how to educate for the modern world all of the children in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, by stirring up those emotions and pushing those hot buttons, they're diverting attention from issues that we really should be working on and just making people angry and you know, wasting time, wasting energy.
So you think that's what Andrew... So, Crystal, you think that's what Andrew Cuomo is doing when he proposes, you know, this kind of Dream Act for New York State? I doubt that.
I don't think he's the progressive Democrat we wish he would be.
Well, no, I think you may be right about that, but I think on this... He took a page out of Barack Obama's book and understands, as I think I do, that what's going on here is that the Hispanic population in this country is humongous. And because Barack Obama has been proposing this kind of thing and because supporting it, he got 7 votes for every 1 for the Republicans. I think Andrew Cuomo's not a dope. He sees that, too.
Sure. I mean, there's definitely political calculus going on, but I think part of that political calculus is also a divide and conquer tactic where, you know, I mean, people that weren't going to vote for Cuomo anyway, it's like you might as well make, you know, throw their votes away because they weren't going to vote for him anyway.
Well, Crystal, I really want to thank you for calling. Secondly, it's an interesting position. I don't think that's what's motivating Harry Reid. To throw red meat or Andrew Cuomo. I, as you know, Crystal, if you listen to the station, I have my issues with Cuomo. But I think if anything, it's that the Hispanic population in this country now counts for a great deal, and this is something for them.
Do you think Cuomo then is just towing the party line in order to get support for his own presidential run in the future?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Crystal. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Frank in North Adams. Frank, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to ask one quick question, and then I have a comment. What's the difference between what Cuomo's proposed and what's currently out there for the Dream Act?
Well, Frank, if I could tell you that, I wouldn't be a liar. But since I came into this, you know, relatively unprepared, can tell you that what Cuomo is proposing does involve some money. And it also says, let's see here. The Dream Act would provide a way to help poor immigrant families afford college and would create a commission to raise money for scholarships. So there's money involved, and that's rubbing some people the wrong way, as opposed to the federal act, which I just read you the provisions.
Right. I agree with everyone about college should be more affordable. I agree that this is part of Andrew Cuomo's higher aspirations. But I want to get right down to what I think is the issue at heart.
Sure.
First off, nobody is illegal. There is no such thing as an illegal person. And it upsets me so much when we hear this illegal immigrant, legal immigrant, you know, whatever. We have so many undocumented people in this country.
12 million.
And for most of them, most, and I would say most meaning like 80, 90%,
yeah.
It's not their fault. The fault is that our immigration system is so backward, backlogged. We haven't had a real immigration reform since the 60s. I've worked with students like this, these exact students I have worked with and mentored, who come here very young. Most of my students that came here, they were like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. I worked with them in high school. These kids were the best kids in the school. They went to a predominantly rural white school. They were kids maybe from Colombia, El Salvador, Mexico, worked really hard, got the best grades in the class, have great English skills, fantastic Spanish skills, and said, my only option is the community college. That's it. And even if I get to do that, I still won't be able to pursue my dreams. And so they're stuck. Their families are here. Their families live here. Their families have jobs. Their families are paying taxes. That's another thing. If we had a better path to citizenship, we would solve our debt crisis because we'd be collecting so many more taxes. It's insane that you would not want to make all these people citizens. When they want to be here, they're here for the opportunities, the same opportunities. I'm an Italian immigrant. Well, my great-grandparents were, right? 3 generations ago. People are like, why didn't they do it the right way like they did at Ellis Island? Is Ellis Island open? can somebody just walk to the front door and get a stamp on their head and an exam? No, it doesn't work that way anymore. And I think people get those issues confused and think that it's that easy to just walk through our immigration system and become a citizen. It's not.
Well, Frank, I loved your call, and I appreciate it very much, as you probably know. And we'll get on to the next one, okay? Thanks, Frank.
All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to Nancy in Manchester, Connecticut. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. The previous guy said some of what I wanted to say. There was a wonderful book called They're Taking Our Jobs, and she was saying that we have always had workers without rights. First we had slaves, then we had Jim Crow, then we had the civil rights movement, so we couldn't do that anymore. So we put in a quota, which we never had before. I mean, my family came over here, they just walked right in, you know, as he said. And
when did they come, Nancy, your family?
Oh, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, there's a difference between stepping off the Mayflower.
No. My daughters can join the DAR. I can't. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the point is that the migrant workers used to come, work, go back home, freely cross the border. Once these quotas were there, once they're here, they don't dare go back home. Plus, our corporations have gone into Mexico and taken away a lot of the jobs that were going on down there, plus a lot of the agriculture. And so now we're all upset by these people coming up here and trying to support their families.
Yeah, Nancy, I think we got the picture.
Don't go away. Yeah.
But interestingly, I think you've raised a very interesting point, although it's not what we're dealing with today. And that is if you go to, you said slavery in the past and other things. If you go to many towns, the entire infrastructure of the town, the work that many people don't want to do is being done by these folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. And they don't dare, you know, get on anybody's case. Although you know that the flow of immigrants, particularly to Mexico now, has slowed down till it's just about neutral. Did you know that?
Well, because our economy isn't wonderful.
That's exactly right. Nancy, great call.
But the children still deserve education.
Yeah.
And it needs to be acknowledged that people are at the mercy of an employer who could just turn them in, and it's not like I get a job and I've got laws, I've got to be treated fairly. If I'm undocumented, I'm in constant danger of being deported.
Well, that's right.
And my children are just as deserving as, you know, anybody else's.
Nancy, good call. Very good call. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Let's go to Jamal in Newburgh. Jamal, what say you?
Hey, Alan. This seems like as good a topic as any to make a point I've wanted to make on the station many times in many, many different contexts, but I feel like there are two different visions of the country, and this hits at the root of that. One being, this is a free-for-all melee of individuals all going for their own, and versus this is a team. And does the DREAM Act really constitute something that is threatening other people in the country? Not really. It's kind of intended to create a stronger team. You have these people here. You want them to be people that can contribute their maximum to our country. That's what they want to do. Or you want to handicap them so that they can't.
Go ahead. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can't hear you.
I hear you. I think you make great sense. I take it your question was rhetorical, that didn't demand an answer from me.
Yeah, I think that it's about the way this debate is framed by, you know, in partisan rhetoric. I mean, you've slipped into it a little bit as to whether or not, you know, this is going to be taken away from someone. Are we giving anybody anything?
Not me. I'm for it. I mean, I'm for it.
Yeah, well, the entire point, in my opinion, is the people that are, that have quote-unquote made it, whether they're working class, middle class, people that have some stability in their lives. The point is for us to uplift everyone in the country so all of our standards of living rise.
I'm with you. Jamal, thank you.
All right, take care.
Now, let's go to Nico in Wasaic. Nico, you're on.
How do you do?
Good, how do you do?
I'm all right. My father came to the United States in 1961 from South America. He came through legal channels to go to boarding school and then college and state. And you know, you might think I'd take the everyone should take the legal route position, but I don't. And I learned something recently that supports that. My grandparents came from Europe in the 30s to Colombia because the U.S. turned them away. And they were Jews escaping fascism. My grandmother and her mother came from Germany. And I recently found out that they lived for several years in Colombia on tourist visas and worked and made a life there and then eventually found their way into the legal population there. And it makes me think that when people are saying things like, people who don't go through legal channels need to be punished or shouldn't be rewarded or don't deserve our money, I feel like they're talking to my little cute grandmother, you know, and it really eats me up inside to hear that kind of meanness in people. We have an opportunity to do something that is a generous thing. We are Americans, and I want us to do something we can be proud of.
Well said, Nico. Appreciate it very much. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, and let's go to Elizabeth in Clifton Park. Elizabeth, you're on. By the way, now, folks, for the first time, there are two free phones. One free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Elizabeth, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I was just going to say, I think our country is being extremely short-sighted, and we need to see what's going on in places like Japan and Europe and Italy and Russia, where they don't have enough young people. And they have an aging population. Their populations are declining. They don't have enough young people.
Isn't that true of the United States, too? I mean,
if we didn't have the Hispanic population and some of these Mexican immigrants, we would probably be faced with people having less children and not having enough young people.
As in the argument that we need more people supporting Social Security, otherwise we're in trouble.
I heard you saying that just last week.
Yeah.
And here we have a wonderful group of young people who really consider themselves Americans, because as far as I'm concerned, they are. And we just want to not educate them and throw them away. I think it's very short-sighted, and I'm shocked, frankly, by the behavior of our country sometimes.
Well, you know, there was this guy on television, remember him, Lou Dobbs, and he made this his personal crusade. And he got everybody all riled up, and he got them out of their little homes or whatever they were, and they were all yelling and screaming. But I think we've grown up a little bit since that time. At least I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Elizabeth, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to John in Kingston. John in Kingston, you're on.
Thank you, Dr. Shattuck, for this conversation.
Sure.
Nice and volatile, and I don't think it would be handled with as much civility at some other forum. I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you saying that. I'll tell you right now.
Well, thank you, sir. Ignorance is more expensive than education. Also, I don't think that a four-year diploma necessarily has to be the gold standards. There's many things that require clear thinking and an intelligence, like an RN, that's 2 years, goes anywhere on the planet, somewhat machinist. I mean, there's so many things.
Are you sure an RN is only 2 years?
Yes, it is, sir. Yeah.
You mean an RN?
Then if you want the bachelor, that's another two, and then the master's is two more.
Okay, somebody's going to call up and set us straight on that, because it seems to me a nursing program for an RN as opposed to an LPN is...
LPN's 1 year.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir. If I stand corrected, then so be it. I'm just saying, I have someone that's in Ulster County Community College.
Okay.
I know a number of people. It's a two-year program, and they work very hard, and they get an excellent education, and they are ready to go to... and help people that are ill.
Okay, John, we're going towards a break, so wrap it up. What do you need to say?
God bless America, and the Daily Freeman's got a great spread on our wonderful president.
Okay. Hey, John, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. We're going to take a very short break. If your name is Rick or Annie or Michael or Wahab, stay there, right there. We'll be right with you.
Support for WAMC comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, glaucoma management, and specialty contact lens fitting. Where eyewear is an art, Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com. Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock. Organic produce, weight loss, and immune support supplements working to help maintain winter health since 1978. Facebook, Twitter, and sunflowernatural.com. And Maria College, Albany, New York, offering RN Baccalaureate Completion Program, Associate Degrees, and Professional Certificate Programs, day, evening, weekend, and online classes, mariacollege.edu.
And we are back. Tom Jobe is with us. He's going to read out some of your messages very quickly that have come in over the social media, and he assures me that the RN degree is 2 years. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. Judith on Facebook says, why sacrifice the talent of anyone just because they came to this country illegally? Makes no sense. These young people have to earn their entry into college and their college degrees. Why squander their talent, skill, and ambition? She continues to say, in the U.S., we have the benefit of young people coming from other countries who keep our workforce young. We should be thanking them rather than demonizing them. And of course, they should be able to go to college, as can anyone else. And then David writes, how about a path to citizenship, and then we can talk about financial aid.
Thank you, Tom. You read extremely well. I want to compliment you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that's because you're a poet. I know that. Okay, thanks a lot. Let's go to Rick in Albany. Rick, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So listen, for the last 30 years, my business, which is the service industry, has employed many immigrants with working papers, and you get to talk to them and find out you know, what their perspective is. And one of the biggest issues that we have in this country is that we've created kind of a top-heavy workforce. You know, when the immigrants came over through the Ellis Island route in the turn of the century to the 20s, most of those people worked in manufacturing and industry. We've gutted that segment of our economy in a huge way, and in a lot of ways the people who are here now say that most of those jobs are in their country. So maybe it's not in the best interest, and it's not a positive thing, of the big industry lobbyists in America to have these people become citizens, because they're having them work in their own countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, Central America, for pennies on the dollar what they would have to pay them to work here, and they're getting a cheaper product by keeping them from coming into America.
Okay.
Ever think of that?
No, that's an interesting point, especially since we know there's some substance to this, because we know that the immigration levels have decreased to the point where it's basically neutral right now. We don't know why. It may have to do with putting up, you know, all kinds of defensive mechanisms between us and the Latin Americans. It may be for other reasons, but that may be one explanation.
Well, it's something to ponder what the truth is, because a lot of our auto manufacturing, our durable goods, washing machines, et cetera, we think it's all in China, but parts are made in China, but a lot of assembly and manufacturing is being done in Mexico, Central South America, for maybe $10 a day or $8
a
day.
Rick,
so,
we,
you know, think about that.
Rick, we thank you for your call and your insight.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Annie in Troy. Annie, you're on.
Hello, I run a guest house in Troy, and I've had many, many international academics, so I know that they have had difficulty in the past. But I also meet lots of poor immigrants in this country who are from countries that never had a chance to get in legally at all. In 1945, you could admit 104 Chinese total to the whole United States.
Wow.
That was their quota. The quota for everybody who was non-European was 2% of the total quota for coming into the country.
Mm-hmm.
It was impossible to come legally, so this description of they have to come legally, it's just not impossible to do. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Annie. Let's go to Michael in West Stockbridge. Hiya, Michael. How you doing?
Yes, hello, Alan. Been a long time since I've been able to call in, so I appreciated the opportunity to do so.
And we appreciate that you're doing it.
Hey, I just wanted to say that listening to the conversation that, first, just two minor points. One is people don't expect to hear a blonde, blue-eyed guy with a Polish surname to be saying this, but I'm part Abenaki. And if the red men, you know, including my own ancestors, all the way down to the Arawak Canal of the Caribbean and the people of the Mexican coast, had presented a unified front to the galleons when they all started arriving in the late 15th century, there would be nobody here except the red people. And all these folks that are saying, you know, that we don't need all these immigrants and all these undocumented aliens and such, are the descendants of undocumented aliens. And the second point is that even the Native Americans, they walked here from Asia, and there wasn't any immigrations or customs waiting for them when they got here. And it's been that way for tens of thousands of years. In fact, you know, Australians may have showed up on the west coast of South America 40,000 years ago.
European
seal hunters may have come over during the Ice Age on the ice from, you know, that stretch from the Bay of Biscay until to Atlantic Canada. So we're all the descendants of undocumented immigrants that walked or boated here.
You know, Arlo Guthrie has this wonderful song of Tom Paxton's that he sings, and he says, "Ever since man has been getting out of the slime." And I've been thinking about that, you know, that ever since man has gotten out of the slime, two guys got out of the slime, and that one walked to one cave and the other one walked to the other cave, and they looked at each other and said, "Kill him." You know, get him. He's not me. So I think you make a very good point. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Wahab in Gilderland. Is it Wahab?
Hey, Alan. I have a question. The New York State, the only state is going to pay for illegal immigrants. Then all the people from the other state will get attracted to come to New York State to pay for illegal immigrants. Then why we should pay for all those people? And then after they educated, they're not going to stay in New York. Some of them, they're going to leave the state too. Why, as a New York state, why we should pay for them?
Can you think of any good reasons we should pay for them? Like,
yeah, it is
like
a good reason. I agree we should pay, but why for then every other state people is coming, they should be in the federal level, not in the state.
Well, you see, that's what always happens. You do something in the state, you ban guns, and they say, oh, no, that should be the federal level. If you come up with a creative program where we treat our children decently, somebody says, no, that should be on the federal level. Don't you see? I mean, that's what...
Well, we have to sacrifice. As a New York state, we pay tax more than a lot of other states. And
that's
we
true.
Have to pay more taxes, you know. So just why we're always in New York, you know. And I must come as an immigrant from Afghanistan, and I work here so hard, and I pay for my kid education. I understand the people, they come illegal. Probably they don't have the opportunity that I had because I come legal and I work and I had the opportunity. And I could understand that, and education is the best thing. Is, for example, for the real estate is the location, the three things the most important.
Why do you stay in New York? What do you like about New York that brings you here, that keeps you
here?
Well,
because when I came from Afghanistan as a refugee, I came to New York City because I had my family there. They sponsored me. So then I came to Albany because I had more opportunity to educate myself here. It was easier. Mm-hmm. That's the reason I came to Albany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wahab, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Let's go to Frank in Long Meadow. Frank in Long Meadow, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Chartok. I've been listening to your show for a really long time, but I've never had the opportunity to call in until now.
Well, you don't know enough to call me Alan? What's this Dr. Chartok stuff? Go ahead, Frank.
All right, Alan. I've been listening to the Dream Act debate for several years, both on the federal level and on various state levels.
Right.
And it seems to me that there are two issues that are repeatedly voiced by opponents. I'd like to address those just briefly, if I can. The first is an argument of fairness. People say that, well, why not me? Why am I not getting help? Why are we helping these people?
Right.
And I think that's a fallacious argument because the Dream Act is designed to address a particular problem, and that problem is the well-being and educational needs of children of undocumented immigrants who were not themselves involved in the decision to come to this country in an unconventional way. And so it doesn't address overall fairness in the funding of higher education, and therefore it shouldn't be looked at as something that ought to address those issues.
Well, you know, Frank, the Supreme Court is deciding this term on whether or not we should have affirmative action. And it's the same argument. Basically, it's the same argument.
I understand that, and yet issues of contraceptive funding in this country don't address funding for male contraception because they're not meant to. They're meant to address women's health needs.
Uh-huh.
And so for men's groups to say, well, that doesn't address, you know, men's contraceptive needs, is a similarly fallacious argument.
Now, that is not an argument I hear very much, but I'm sure you've heard it. Hey, Frank, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sheila in Ulster County. Sheila, you're on.
Hi. I'd like to address an issue which sort of ties into a lot of them. As a senior citizen, I get mailings from groups in Washington who need support to keep Medicare and
sure.
Medicaid and so forth from being cut. But there's one group called the Senior Citizens League that is absolutely furious that the United States might sign a treaty with Mexico which would result in Mexican workers who have paid into Social Security for years actually being able to draw that money out when they retire.
Right. In other words, when they take a job, the employer has to, even if he knows in his heart of hearts where the person is from, has to deduct that Social Security and FICA, right?
Right. That's the law.
Right.
In
correct.
My experience, I have found, because I've worked with people who have been, who have now reached citizenship status, that the people they worked for actually took out the Social Security but did not send it to the government. They just kept it. So that's one little twist in there.
Mm.
But this group doesn't want this. They say it's the result of illegal aliens performing illegal work. I'm hoping the guy's listening who earlier said he didn't like illegal aliens, that term. But here it is, even to illegal work. And they also say, so they're drawing on our fears of not having enough money in Social Security to scapegoat Hispanics who have worked all their lives.
And who work hard. And you take a look in almost any town in America now, and you see who the infrastructure is. And that's because because so-called other Americans don't want that work.
Right.
And won't work as hard.
But the other thing that they're calling for is no increased taxes on Social Security. So I looked at that for a while because it really confused me. And then I figured out what I think is needed in Social Security is increased taxes. But that means tax the whole of earnings.
Sure.
Raise the cap. Most of us pay 100% tax on 100% of our earnings. But those of us earning over $94,000 or whatever it is right at this minute don't have to pay taxes on anything but that.
Yeah.
And so if it were taxed all the way up, then we would have no problems with Social Security for maybe 100 years.
I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, Sheila, if you saw that change.
Well, it may change because we're pushing for it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that this group, Senior Citizens League, is probably paid for by somebody like the Koch brothers.
Well, you know, you don't know. You can't say until you know.
They have very flashy flyers and printed
well, but you don't know.
Inks.
You don't know.
Don't
I mean,
know.
I have to
but
watch.
It,
I have
the
to.
Goal
Sheila.
Could be to distract us.
Sheila, that's all possible. So I don't like it when you name names like that because you don't know. And, you know, I have to be very protective of this radio station.
Oh, I see.
And what goes out over the airwaves. Thank you, Sheila. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, bye-bye.
Let's go to Dan in Lee. Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah.
I don't like to see anybody punished. You know, I don't like to see these people, especially the children. You know, I worked with a guy in a firm. He was from Japan.
Yep.
And one day he said he's leaving. I said, why? You know, he's got to leave the country. I said, well, why don't you get your green card? He said, well, the lawyer wants $5,000.
Sure.
And, you know, like this caller said earlier, you know, I think it's the system that's a mess. You know, like everybody came over to Ellis Island and got documented and went on their merry way and got the American,
Dream.
Dream. And today, I mean, there's enough money floating around this country where, you know, college today is an extension of high school. It should be free for everybody.
I agree.
Same with health care.
I agree.
We got enough money floating around to educate our children, to take care of our sick and our poor, and our retired. I think the problem is politics. It's gotten to be such a mess. nobody can dig it deep enough to bail us out anymore.
I hear you.
I hope Obama can, but...
I think I have some hope here. Hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate
Alrighty.
Your call. Right, let's go to Jerry in Schenectady. Jerry in Schenectady, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
I agree with you almost every week when I listen to what you're saying, but I'm going to swing back to the earlier callers, and I disagree on this one. And I'd start off by saying I bet most or all of those who are speaking in favor of the DREAM Act are currently working, or they're retired.
Hey, Jerry, you didn't call earlier, did you?
No, were. I noticed there were some other Jerrys who called earlier.
Go ahead.
I haven't called in a couple of weeks.
No, go ahead, Jerry.
So if the unemployment rate were about normal, the way it used to be, around 3% or so, I'd be in favor of this too. But now it's about 8%, and we want it to go down. But with more machines taking over jobs and outsourcing going on, I don't know how many American families are going to be able to earn an income in the future. And, you know, I think the partiality has to go to people who are native-born.
Are they willing to do the work?
Pardon me?
Are they willing to do the work? In other words, are they willing to get in the restaurants and do the pots and pans and work their behinds off? Are they willing to do that?
I think many of them are. They will have to be pretty soon. Agricultural work is a different thing, but we're losing jobs in the construction industry and other jobs that Americans are willing to work. But we're losing them to people who, because of their illegal status, are willing to work at below minimum wage, are willing to work without benefits, and they're lowering the standard for working people. And we can't compete against that.
Jerry,
they work harder than us.
Jerry, it's come around for the second time. I appreciate your call very much, and I
Thank
always
you,
like
Alan.
To hear both sides of the story. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let's go to Sue in Albany. Sue, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hey, Sue, go.
Yeah, my problem is with the political expediency of Governor Cuomo's announcement.
Yeah.
Because I feel if he really cared about the education of immigrants, he would not have in his state so many school districts that are being underfunded so seriously that places out towards Amsterdam have a $500,000 budget problem in their second semester. You have Water Valley that was in the news having such serious cutbacks. There are school districts on the brink of bankruptcy. And when you claim to care about the children of immigrants and they come to this country and are unable to speak English, it would be helpful if you actually funded, as the governor, the mandates you have for English as a second language, for school districts to be able to truly hire teachers for dual language and dual literacy rather than firing them in the tremendous three-digit numbers Utica did for this school year. So to me, the issue is actually misplaced. The issue should be comprehensive, and it should be the kind that cares about children from their infancy or from when they come here until they are college or career ready.
Okay, and Sue, we're at the end, so I thank you so much for your call. You've made a very good point. Let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris, you can make one sentence, and that's it. Go ahead. What's your point?
You're asking for Chris?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. You got
it. Yes, Alan. I just wanted to say something like a call you had a few calls back. I think we're hypocritical about immigration, as we are the ancestors of immigrants who invaded and stole this country from Native Americans.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Duplicity.
Hey, Chris.
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Good.
I'm so sorry, everybody. Doug of Windsor and Ellie of Amsterdam, we're out of time. But everybody who called in, I want to thank you. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Springfield Museums, presenting guitar, the instrument that rocked the world. Exhibits and interactive displays spread across two museums, springfieldmuseums.org, and Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors, empireexhibits.com, and the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people, nature.org/Adirondacks. Thanks, everybody, again, for joining us on the Vox Pop. It's been fun. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/Vox Pop. Again, online at WAMC.org/Vox Pop. And our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges. Today, Ray Graff helping out. I'm Alan Shartok. Tomorrow on the show, college admissions and financial aid with Lynn Engelmeyer. Stay tuned now, everybody, for a wonderful news update.